It's the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network. The Nuggets win. We cash the Avs division title bet at plus 185. We got that great goal by Nathan MacKinnon on Friday night. Got some Rockies to discuss. Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5, joining to talk game one of the Avs series against the Seattle Kraken. And in 2022, my most profitable months were April and May as the show crushed the Avs. Rolling through the playoffs, all the futures bets, and we're back to do it again. So lots to get to. We're going to start with the Nuggets, who last night, I mean, it was a blowout. It was such a big blowout. I went to sleep at the beginning of the fourth quarter and woke up and watched the rest of it because I heard Christian Brown got into it. So the Nuggets covered the gate. The game went under 225, and Jokic didn't get his triple-double. I did have a bet on a Jokic triple-double at plus 140 on Bet Rivers. And I'm going to get to those lines in just a moment for game number two, because this should be a pretty short series. I'm thinking five games. But the Nuggets just looked better than any other playoff team last night. Any other playoff team that we saw over the weekend. Absolute domination on the defensive end. Absolute domination. I don't see how Minnesota wins more than one game in this series. So we start with Jamal Murray. He overcame those, I want to say he was a little bit nervous is what he overcame. He ends up with 24 points and 8 assists. Great second half for him. First playoff game since 2020, back in the bubble. It just seems like so long ago. But he looked better last night in the second half, I think. Seen a lot of Jamal Murray, and I think that this was probably him at his peak in that second half. Sensational. Jokic missed the triple-double. He just played, 29 minutes? So in a blowout, it's very tough to get the triple-double. The double-doubles happen in the first half, but the numbers are just too steep to bet. But Christian Brown's the other one. Love my man Christian Brown, my fellow Jayhawk. He got into a little fight. I don't want to say a fight. Let's call it a tussle with Kyle Anderson. So it was late in the game. Anderson, by the way, is the guy that Rudy Gobert ended up hitting. But the play was over. Anderson tried to take a shot, and Christian Brown had none of it. He goes, you're not getting the shot off. And Anderson went after him, and ultimately, while he tried to take Christian Brown down, he fell down. And then the whole thing got a little bit crazy. But I absolutely loved it. Christian Brown needs to be playing massive minutes in the whole playoffs. I mean, if they can move on, and they end up playing, whether it's the Clippers or whoever they play, the Suns, he's got to be on one of the big guards. It's just, he's too good. He's their best defensive player. And I think he's one of the best defenders in the league already. So Jeff Green looked good too. Massive role. I see a massive role for him. He played 13 minutes in the first half. Some of that was because Aaron Gordon got into foul trouble. Big guy off the bench, Jeff Green. Love seeing him. And here's my other question. How the hell does the Joker foul out? This guy is a superstar. He's an absolute superstar. I don't know what he was doing in the game in the fourth quarter in that blowout, but come on already. How often do we have to talk about this? The referees do not treat Nikola Jokic like a superstar, and they need to. Back-to-back MVP. I've never seen a back-to-back MVP foul out. You just don't see it. Jordan didn't foul out. I'm not saying Jokic is Jordan, but you just don't see superstars get treated the way that Joker does. They're calling ticky-tack fouls on him. I just don't get it. I don't get it. A couple other things to mention here. Porter Jr., 18 points. Love to see the aggressiveness there. When you've got the Joker, Porter, and Murray firing all cylinders, and then you can go with Gordon and Christian Brown coming off the bench. This team's extremely dangerous. And I think that the ceiling really is to win a championship. I think more likely it's getting back into the conference finals like they did in the bubble. But here was something from Chris Finch. He's the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he goes, the Nuggets were way more physical than we were. They played with more speed, more force. They kicked our butts in every category that you could possibly imagine. Hell yes, they did. There were people that were worried about the Nuggets down the stretch because they didn't play well. You know, Joker was sitting. They had wrapped things up. Throw out the end of the regular season for so many teams. They just don't try. They sit stars. They just don't try. And I think that to say they didn't try here with the Nuggets is probably an overstatement, but they didn't give it their all. I don't think from the coaches down, they give it their all down the stretch. No question about it. That's why the Joker sat. But the game two lines on Bet Rivers, let's get into this. Nuggets minus 8.5, minus 113, totals 223. Total is 223. Now, a Joker triple-double should be between plus 140 and plus 150. I'm going to be betting that. Once they post the line for the Joker, that will be my official play in this game. I do think it'll be closer than 29 points. I have a hard time thinking we're going to see another blowout like that. Maybe we will again in the series as the series goes on. And maybe, just maybe, the Timberwolves take a game in Minnesota. But this is what a number one seed should do. They should be just pummeling, absolutely pummeling the number eight seed. And they did it again last night. So Nuggets minus 8.5. That's something that I'm not going to bet. I do think it's going to be a closer game than it was. 8.5 is a little much. If the Timberwolves take a lead and we get that down to like 2.5, 3.5, then I'll jump on it. Total 223, so it came down a couple points from game number one because that was so low. I could see them flirting with the over there. But again, the Joker triple-double is what I'm going to be betting. Anywhere plus 125 and above, and I think they'll set it between plus 140 and plus 150. Yeah, he played 20. It was 28 minutes. He was four assists shy of a triple-double. So that price is tasty. He owns Rudy Gobert. Again, game tighter. He'll play more minutes. Probably see him in the 39-40-minute range if it's a close game. You can also throw down a Jokic triple-double if you like same-game parlays. You could parlay a Jokic triple-double with the Nuggets win, and that's going to be a hearty price too. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these lines pop up and where we can land it at. And last thing, Karl-Anthony Towns said the Nuggets knew their plays. So let's give Michael Malone a little bit of credit here. He gets killed all the time. Great job preparing his team. Great job resting his team down the stretch. It's not easy after guys sit for a week to come out and look as good as they did. That being said, why the hell was Joker playing in the fourth when he had a wrap on his right wrist? That's a little bit questionable, but I'll give the benefit of the doubt there to Malone. Very, very happy with what you saw out of the Nuggets. You should be. You absolutely should be. Okay, that was number one on the Front Range for the four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. We're going to talk with Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. He does the Avs post-game show. And I can't wait for the series to start against Seattle. Oh, it's going to be so good. We were so profitable last year. We had futures. We won the series bets. We won the cup bet. It was just everything. And it's going to be a tougher road, just like it was during the regular season. Game one odds here in Denver. Avs puck line, plus 130. So they got to win by two goals or more. Total is 6. Juice to the over at minus 114. And the Avs are minus 305 to win the series. So I'm not going to bother, putting down $300 to win 100. That's just silly. Don't bother doing that. Here's where I'm attacking this. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Springer's bets are too, because we've been tailing each other here. You can go to the futures market in the NHL on Bet Rivers. And you got to scroll down. And what you'll do is you will find series prices. And in these series prices, I think that the Avs are such a superior team up and down. And I'll give you a little breakdown of both teams. But Avs in five games plus 310. Avs in six games plus 410. So I threw a unit on both. You throw two units down. We're either, and if they win in five or six, if they sweep, okay. So I lose. I still think Seattle, they've got a great home ice advantage. They played the Avs well during the regular season. I think they won two out of three. Nonetheless, there were some injuries on the Avalanche side. But I think this thing's five or six games at the most. So Avs in five plus 310. With two units, we'd be up 1.1 unit. And if the Avs end up losing two games in this series, that's plus 410. So we'd be up a little over two units. So again, I'm throwing a unit on both. And I think this is a five or six game series. Now, let's talk about the Avalanche heading into the playoffs. They were absolutely devastated by injuries this season. I just couldn't believe it. It was one thing, one guy after another. And then Thursday, last Thursday, we learned that Gabriel Landeskog is going to miss the entire playoffs. And he had a monster playoffs last year. 11 goals, 22 points in 22 games. How are they going to replace that? MacKinnon even came out and said the Landeskog news kills us. I know it's a blow. Come on, Nathan MacKinnon. I know it's a blow, but it shouldn't prevent the Avs from winning the cup again. This team is as talented as any. Sure, Boston having the greatest regular season ever, but we've seen the Avs take out great teams in the playoffs before, and there's still Nathan MacKinnon, and there's still Mikko Rantanen, and a whole bunch of guys, okay? So MacKinnon, I think it's a little overreaction to say it kills us. But again, you've got MacKinnon, Rantanen off a career year. Makar is elite. Still wondering how healthy he is. They upgraded a goalie with Georgiev. Remember, last year, their goaltending was a mess, an absolute mess. They had to play two guys. You had Darcy Kemper in net. Darcy Kemper, just a league average goaltender. I thought he was actually a little bit below average. So when they win the cup this year, it's going to be a different brand. You're still going to have the big stars on the ice, the three big guys, MacKinnon, Rantanen, Makar. But instead of having average to below average goaltending, I think Georgiev steps in and goes bananas. He's never started an NHL playoff game, so that'll be interesting to see. But I think it's going to be a coming out party. 61 starts for the Avs, 39-16-6, a .916 save percentage, 2.5 goals against. He's a stud, and this is the stage where Alexander Georgiev could put his name up there with the elite goaltenders in the league. A backup last year with the Rangers, a starter now on a great hockey team. I get it, they're banged up. I just don't understand the negativity, and I don't like MacKinnon saying that the Landeskog news kills us. But then again, he went out the next night, scored a goal in the final, you know, minute and a half, and ended up clinching the division. So I'm going to brush that off a little bit. I shouldn't be focusing on it as much. Cale Makar has a lower body injury. Remember, a couple of concussion issues during the regular season. He's expected to come back. He's going to play here. How close to 100%? We'll find out. These are hockey players. At this point in the season, they're all banged up. Mikko the Freako Rantanen, 55 goals this year. So if you got Makar anywhere close to 100%, with Devin Taves, Bowen Byram, Samuel Girard, Josh Manson. Defensively, they are just a bunch of studs too. So I keep seeing these things from the national media and even some of the local media where they're down on this team. You know, they don't have Landeskog. They don't have their captain. They still have enough to be the best team in the National Hockey League, folks. I don't get it. I just don't get it. So you look at their defense again. Makar, Taves, Byron, Girard, Josh Manson. These guys are back. These guys are back. Manson's back. Terrific goaltending, terrific defense, and a few guys in the upper echelon of the league that light the lamp. Now, the Kraken, Seattle, if you haven't watched them play, they have a monster offense. And it's interesting because they don't have one guy in particular that's a big-time goal scorer. They've just got guys all around that can score goals. So Georgiev's going to be big in this series. They're either going to have Martin Jones or your old friend Philip Grubauer in net. And neither one of them has a save percentage above .900. They are bad. They have bad goaltenders. Now, they've got a great defense. They give up the second fewest shots per game, but you get the puck on net, it's going in. So here's my prediction. My prediction is Avs in five. That's plus +310 on Bet Rivers. And just for a little insurance, plus +410 Avs in six. I do think they drop a game, though. Seattle at home probably going to grab one. So looking forward to seeing what the Avalanche do. We got the Nuggets in the playoffs, the Avalanche in the playoffs. We got a new head coach in Sean Payton here. By the way, can I bring this up real quick? Front Range four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. Number three would be Russell Wilson driving a golf cart into a bunker. Now, not a big deal. It happens. And it's even happened to me before. I was not the driver. This has got to be about 20 years ago at a Doug Flutie charity event. And I'm not a big golfer anymore. I used to golf all the time. I just don't do it. I don't have time at this point. And I'd rather be doing other things outdoors, like hiking or whitewater rafting or something like that. But the guy I was in the cart with, I think we were both tipsy. He was probably more tipsy than me and should not have been driving. He just thought it'd be funny to drive into the bunker. And I ended up hopping out, just jumping out before he landed in the bunker. The thing tipped over. He didn't get really hurt or anything, but I don't want to mess with that. Russell Wilson, man, pay attention, dude. You can't be driving into bunkers. This team needs you. It's just something else. It's always something else with Russell Wilson. Anyways, they got OTAs coming up in about a month from now, May 23rd through the 25th. Then the 30th through the 1st, and then the 5th of June through the 8th. So we're going to have a lot of Broncos stuff coming up after the draft. Mandatory minicamp, June 13th. And they'll have the rookie minicamp. This is coming up in like 3 weeks, May 5th to 8th or 12th to 15th. So a lot of Broncos news is starting to come out. The big news today, Russell Wilson drove into a bunker. Not big news, nonetheless, a little bit of news. Just want to throw it out there. Now you know a little bit more about me as I've had a guy try to drive into a bunker, successfully driving into the bunker, turning over as I jumped out beforehand. I was very proud of myself, and I'll never forget the moment to this day. Let's get into number four, Front Range Four. Can you listen just for a little bit on the Rockies? Because we can make some money here, okay? I made a little bit of money. I was up in just about 15 miles north of Blackhawk doing some betting this weekend. Betting, hiking. It was cold too, but having a good time. And I watched a little bit of Rockies. My girl was not too happy with me about that, but we had some money on it. Now, why was I betting against the Rockies? Last year, we had a ton of success betting the Rockies team total under on the road. And normally you'd see it at 3.5 or even 2.5. And then what we'd do was parlay that with their opponent winning. And that's an early season trend again. It went 3-0 in Seattle. They lost all the games. They scored one, two, and three runs and were no-hit through six innings yesterday. So they started the season on the road, and I think there's something to them coming off of Coors Field not being able to put up offense in the first two or three games after that. And we saw that in Seattle. They've got the Pirates at home for three, coming up now, and then they'll go to Philadelphia, a bandbox. But nonetheless, if they post that at 3.5, that's an auto bet to the under. I don't care who's pitching. They just cannot score on the road, especially in the first game of the series. Although they scored their most runs, they scored three in game one, and that team total was 3.5. Then they moved it down to 2.5. So they've got the Pirates at home for three in Philly, and they will probably post this between 2.5 and 3.5. You're not going to get anything lower or higher than that. So that last series, 3-2-1 runs, no hit through six. If you ever see a 3.5 team total, not quite an auto bet, close as it gets. 2.5 team totals are interesting. So that's when I get into the same game parlay again. I had to do that in games 2 and 3 of the Seattle series. You can usually bet the 3.5 with the opponent winning at a price of maybe minus 130 to minus 110. This is one of the worst teams of baseball on the road. They're a horrible team, but at least they're mediocre at home. They are just abysmal on the road. So you're not going to get plus money more often than not, but you can get, if that thing usually is around minus 120, that's my sweet spot, minus 120 and below. Some of you would bet a minus 140 there. If you do that, fine. You got to get two right, and you got to play a little bit of juice. But again, I get that team total either at 3.5, or if it's at 3.5 and I feel like, ooh, there's a horrible starting pitcher going on the mound against the Rockies today, maybe I'll bump it to 4.5 in a win. But it's a bet that was profitable last year. It continued the trend over the weekend. And on Thursday's show, I will have lines on Bet Rivers on their team total against the Phillies. Team totals under on the road. Have a bet for Thursday. Rockies travel to face the Phillies. Okay. The Avalanche do not have to travel anywhere at all. Coming up, these first two games of the Stanley Cup playoffs, round one, puck drops Tuesday at Ball Arena. Talking more about the Avs, maybe a little Nuggets too, with my guy, Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. That's next. I'm Holden Kushner on the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network. It's Mark Springer. I promised you'd be here. He's very excited about the Avalanche playoffs, just like I am. He's got his playoff beard already. You should shave that thing, by the way. He looks like a mountain man. You should shave that now and then regrow it out for the playoffs. What are you doing?
Well, I trimmed it this weekend. So imagine what it looked like on Friday. It was even worse on Friday. You got to have the playoff beard, man. Come on. April beards bring May. What rhymes with beards? Let's go. It's playoff time.
Nothing. Weirds. Yeah, we're not going to do that. So I'm just going to come back. Hey, I don't know if you were on it, but I know we talked about it, though. Avs win in the Central, plus 185. So I'm sitting there on vacation on Friday night, right? And I power up the Roku, and I watch McKinnon scores of like, what, a minute and a half, minute 18, minute something left, and they clinch the division. I mean, with all the injuries this season, this team is still amazing. And I'm sick of listening to the national media and even some people here in town saying, oh, they can't win without Landeskog. McKinnon said it kills us, and then he goes out and scores the game winner. I still think this is a Stanley Cup champion team.
You've been asking me about Gabe Landeskog all year, and y'all, I'm just a little frustrated in the injury updates that we got all season long, and the fact that he was skating recently. I feel slightly misled. I was a little optimistic, but I will say this, okay? The Avs won the Central without Gabe Landeskog all season long. Mm-hmm. Every team in the West, they have had a quality win, multiple quality wins against. They won the season series against Dallas. They won the season series against Minnesota. They went into Las Vegas and won. They won the season series against the Edmonton Oilers. In fact, one of their wins against the Oilers was a stretch where the Avs were playing some of their worst hockey of the season. They had lost 7 of 8. Their one win in that losing 7 of 8 stretch was in Edmonton. They've beaten all of these teams. Now, if they sustain one more major injury to a McKinnon, a Rantanen, even a Lekkonen, or a Valeri Nichushkin, I'll put him above Lekkonen. I mentioned him fourth, but still, you lose one of those guys, okay, now you're in trouble. A Makar, something like that. As long as they're healthy like this, they just won the Central. And Holden, I think the key for this team, well, two things. One, winning the Central was huge because now they get the Seattle Kraken in round one. And their best player this season had been Andrei Burakovsky, former Av, but he's hurt, and he might not play in round one. He's certainly not going to play to start round one. We'll see if he comes back at some point, but either way, that's big for them. Also, Philip Grubauer in goal for the Kraken. He's a nice little goaltender, but he's one of the weaker goaltenders in this Western Conference field. So winning the division was huge. You would have otherwise played Minnesota. If you're the Avalanche, that would have been a much more physical matchup against better goaltending, tougher defense. So winning the division for matchup purposes was huge. Then they also get to see Dallas and Minnesota tear each other apart. I think that game, that series is at least 6 games. That is going to be a battle. So you avoided that. But Holden, I think the key for this team, they're healthy besides Landeskog, except for maybe Andrew Cogliano. That's fine. That's not a huge deal. So they're nearly 100% healthy, which is a minor miracle considering all the injuries they faced all season. But to me, the key is Alexander Georgiev. He is the best goaltender that they have had in years. He's better than Darcy Kemper. He's better than Philip Grubauer. A matchup of him versus Philip Grubauer, I cannot wait. Alexander Georgiev is primed for a breakout playoff run.
I'm sick of this. Even you're like, oh, here's what's wrong. They're not going to win the cup if this happens. They're going to win the cup, and they're going to do it differently than they did last year because they have Mikko the Freako coming off a career year. They got McKinnon still doing his thing. Makar will be back. I don't know if he's 100%. Who the hell is at this point? But I think Georgiev ends up winning them some games. Their goaltending maybe won what? One game for them in the playoffs last year? Georgiev's going to stand on his head. I'm looking forward to this run. And I just don't think maybe the players aren't believing enough. I don't know. This is the best team in the league. Maybe not in a regular season because Boston's been going nuts. But to me, this is a Stanley Cup winner again.
Look, they went 16-4 in last year's playoff run. It'll be a little tougher than that if they get it done. Can they get it done? Absolutely they can. Again, kind of a saving grace that they were able to win the division. You know, they faced the Manitoba Moose, a.k.a. the Winnipeg Jets B roster. And that was a close game. That was closer than you would have thought it was going to be. Nashville had nothing to play for and had some hurt guys. And that was a close game. So, look, this is not the dominant Avs team from last year, but they play real gritty hockey with better goaltending, like you said. So I think they win the Seattle series. I don't think it's a sweep like last year's Nashville series, but that might honestly just mean one game because this is a bad matchup. Like, the Avs on paper are a much better team than Seattle. Seattle's a plucky team, though. I know their fan base is going to be juiced getting a playoff series finally in Seattle. We know Seattle brings it, but I'm thinking five, maybe six games. And another thing, you know, why I mentioned Dallas and Minnesota, now you avoided Minnesota and you let Dallas fight it out with Minnesota. That's going to be a super tough series. So hopefully when the Avs get through Seattle, they're going to face a tired Stars or Wild team. Then the tricky key is Vegas or Edmonton. The odds makers think it's Edmonton in the conference finals. I think it's Vegas, especially with it looks like Mark Stone coming back and solid goaltending, underrated goaltending for Vegas, guys that, you know, a lot of the casuals don't know who the Knights' stable of goalies are, but it's a good group. It really is. So Vegas in the conference finals, if it is Vegas, I think it is going to be tough. But look, these are seven-game series. This is a tested team with experience. Anything can happen. If you sleep on the Avs for 1 second, you think, oh, they don't have Gabe Landeskog, they can get you. And then if you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, let's say it's mighty Boston, a roster that I do think is overrated. I don't see this vast improvement from the Bruins of years past, at least roster-wise, on paper, to this year's team. I don't see this juggernaut. I see a lot of really good teams in the East, don't get me wrong. But again, get them in a seven-game series. Anything can happen. The Avs are well coached by Jared Bednar. Yeah, they can absolutely win the Cup. I'm not sitting here near as confident as I was last year, but I think a bet on the Avs is totally worth it, no doubt about it.
I'm still not hearing enough confidence out of you, but that's okay. That's okay. All right. Maybe you're just too close to the situation.
I don't want to jinx it. I can't sit here and be like, we got it. Come on.
Yes. I mean, they're going to roll. They're going to win in five games here. Now, I did place the bet +310 and five, +410 and six. Right. So just in case they screw up, I don't see a sweep. I think Seattle's got a nice home ice advantage. You know, one game they'll be allowed. It just happens. So those are my two best bets from this series. But again, it just sounds to me like you're afraid of Vegas and maybe even Connor McDavid. And the goaltending situation here is so much different. I get it. Landeskog, 22 points, 22 playoff games last year. But they also have guys that can step up in a much better goaltending situation. Defensively, they're amazing. Amazing.
No doubt about it. Now, look, for Edmonton, you know, last year they were rolling with Mike Smith in net, okay? They have upgraded, but they've in-house upgraded. In fact, they thought they upgraded in the offseason by signing Jack Campbell to a big money contract, a goaltender who was previously with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Turns out that did not work out, which is classic Edmonton. But fortunately for them, their young goaltender, who's from the Edmonton area, Stuart Skinner, has played well this season. He was an all-star. I thought maybe that was a fan vote. The Edmonton fan base, the McDavid fan base gave him some love, but down the stretch he showed, okay, maybe this Stuart Skinner does have something. Maybe this wasn't as much of a fluke. They improved the defense by trading Tyson Barrie for Matthias Ekholm. So I think Edmonton's more dangerous than they were last year. But I'll say this, last Tuesday night, the Avs played the Oilers on ESPN, and the Avs were out without Makar, without Manson, who, by the way, we think are going to be back for game one. And it was Lekkonen's first game back. The Oilers had won like seven in a row. Man, I know that the Avs had won six in a row against Edmonton, but I just felt like Edmonton was due with the injuries the Avs had faced. The Avs had won some games recently, but the back half was a little lackluster. I thought Edmonton was going to get them. And the Avs just fought so hard and got a crucial point against Edmonton. Lost in a 3-on-3 overtime, which is moot. That's gone in the playoffs. But that point was the difference. The Avs won the division by 1 point. So as much as I do think Edmonton is improved, an undermanned Avs team still tightened up and got a crucial point against them. And look, Vegas is Vegas. I could go into them too, but that's a tough team. Would I bet the Avs in that series? Absolutely. I'm just saying, you know, the Avs swept the Western Conference Finals last year. That will not be the case this year. There's no way. hold in. Here's a long shot bet for real. Alexander Georgiev to win the Conn Smythe at plus 4,000. How many times? How many times have you heard? Remember Jean-Sébastien Jaguer with the Anaheim Ducks in the early 2000s? Just a goaltender can take you far. Now, the Avs obviously have a ton of talented skaters and defensemen, like you mentioned, but a big-time goaltender breaking out can carry you. I think that this is a moment where Alexander Georgiev shows, hey, New York Rangers, you got Igor Shesterkin. You didn't make the wrong move, but turns out you had a barrel full of riches. And I think Alexander Georgiev, who has been a longtime good prospect on the national stage, I think he's the goaltender that everybody's overlooking, and he could carry this team to a cup. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Okay. What's your best bet, my friend? Because, again, mine is more of a series bet than anything else. I'm not betting minus 305 for them to win the series. I'm going to take in five games plus 310, six games plus 410. We hit one of those, make a nice little profit. What's your bet for the series? Do you have a game bet? Talk to me.
Yeah, no, I think that those are great bets. I would go five or six as well. I don't think this is a sweep, and I don't think that this goes seven. So process of elimination leaves you with one of those two options. You know, I like the Avs money line on Tuesday night. I think that's coming in at about minus 180. You can do what you want with that. I also do like the series spread at minus 1.5 games for the Avs at minus 135. And then also, something I'm going to do, you know, it's a strategy that I love, Holden. I love tournament formats. I love predicting the future. I love saying, who are the Avs going to play in round two should they get through? In fact, this Avs series price has already jumped to minus 300. It was at more minus 280 when I was checking the other or last night or just recently. So who are the Avs going to play in round two? Well, it's either Dallas or Minnesota. I think a lot of people are going to think it's going to be Dallas. Jake Oettinger had the really good round one against Calgary last year. It was kind of his breakout, his coming to the national stage, to the national scene series, even though Dallas lost that series. Look, I think Minnesota is physical. I saw that Joel Eriksson-Ek, a forward who's been out for them, is skating today. I don't know if he plays tonight in game one, but that does mean he's close to a return. They have two goaltenders they can go to. Looks like Marc-Andre Fleury is going to start tonight. They can go to Filip Gustavsson if they need, who, along with Georgiev, has arguably been even more underrated just because nobody knows who Filip Gustavsson is. He came over from the Ottawa Senators in a trade. He's actually pretty good. John Klingberg, a defenseman they got from the Ducks at the trade deadline, was a longtime star. So he's a little hurt, might not play tonight, but Klingberg could be back in this series. He could go get his former team. And, oh, by the way, I haven't even mentioned Kirill Kaprizov or the young rookie star Matt Boldy, who went to the same college, Boston College, as Alex Newhook. I think that the Minnesota Wild are kind of, you know, a little bit of bags. I'm trying to be careful with my words there. They're bags. They're going to muck this series up. They're going to get dirty if they need to. I think Minnesota upsets Dallas, and if the Avs want to go to the Cup, they're going to have to go through their longtime rival, the Minnesota Wild. So I like the Wild at plus 130 to beat the Stars in that series. Parlay it with the Avs at minus 300, and you are getting plus 206. Yeah. Plus 206.
All right, so here's my other thing, though. If you've got the Avs minus 1.5 games, that means what? They win in six?
Six in the worst. Six at worst.
So why wouldn't you just bet 4, 5, and 6 at plus money and get plus money on that? Or just 5 and 6?
You could. But, I might do that. I just want to take my one bet and try to win it, you know? Save my ass if it goes, if it's in, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah. I hear you. Save yourself a little.
What I do, I'm somewhat of a light bettor. I mean, I bet. Don't get me wrong, but I try to keep the bet slip a little light.
Okay, you don't want to throw a whole bunch down. Very good, my friend.
I work in radio.
You're awesome.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, plug everything. What are you doing?
Yeah, for sure. Tonight, the Blitz, Altitude Sports Radio, 92.5, 6 to 7 p.m. We'll talk Nuggets. I was at the game last night. Covered the 8. That was never a doubt. And then tomorrow night, after Avs and Kraken game 1, late start. So it'll be a late night between the pipes. I will react along with my co-host Raj. We will break down game 1, and I expect that to be a win. I expect back-to-back wins at Ball Arena.
All right, buddy. Great stuff. Absolutely love it. Again, we're going to go with two bets here, or there'll be three. It'll be Avs in five games plus 310, Avs in six games plus 410. And then we're going to go with a Jokic triple double in game number two when they post that, hopefully around plus 150. We'll get that price there. And hopefully it's a little closer game and he gets to play more than 29 minutes and they still win. All right, my friend. Thanks to Mark Springer. Thanks to Alex, Melissa, Terry, Adam in the background. Really appreciate all your help. Follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. And thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.